We're up to Siman Beis, which is entitled Din Levishas Begodim. I gave out a handout. There should be enough there. By way of introduction to this Siman, we'll first mention a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Amr Rav Yossi, Mi yamai lo roo koros besi imre chalukoi. The walls of my house never saw imre chalukoi. What does that mean? So this is what the Beis Yosef here in Siman Beis comes to discuss. What's the Havana of this Gemara? Rashi says here, Rashi in Shabbos and Kuf Yud Ches Beis, Shalorou Tzad HaAchorai Shel HaChaluk. Essentially what it means is that his flesh was not seen. He was exceptionally careful that his body should not be exposed. It's a simple pshat according to Rashi. Lo ro koros besi imri chalukai. This din is quoted here in Shulchan Aruch, right in front of you. Siman Beis, Sif Aleph in Beis. We'll read it first, and then we're going to discuss a bit in halacha and an introduction to the Sol Siman in Hashkofa. The Mechaber says in Aleph, Lo yilbash chaluko miyushav. I'm going to discuss the pratim of this in Mitzvah Hashem by Hemshech. That one should not put on his chaluk miyushav in a sitting position. Eliyika chaluko, he should take his shirt. Biyachnis bo rosho uzvaosa biyodenu shochev. Benimtzok shiyokum shumachuse. The Mechaber obviously assumes that somehow their sleeping posture in terms of garb was different than ours. You see that for many states in Chazal, they slept, they didn't have pajamas. They didn't have night clothing. So they slept essentially without clothing. And therefore, the moment the person is going to go ahead and begin to get dressed, he'll do so, biyodenu shochei, while he's in a sleeping posture. And so therefore, the Mechaber says, what emerges was, sheyokum shu mechuseh. A moment he emerges, namely now he's in a sitting posture, he's going to be completely, he'll be clothed, as the Mishnah Berurah explains over here in Sifkat and Aleph, the oz behechreach yizgala gufo. If he dresses, not under the covers, but he dresses miyushav, then we're worried about exposing his body. And that would be a violation of the Gemara that I mentioned, Amar Rav Yesi, miyomai lo rou koros besi imre chalukoi. And therefore the Mechaber suggests what he does. And then the Mishnah Berurah goes on in Tzidkat and Aleph and makes a general sweeping statement. Person should behave with modesty, with a sense of busha in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach. Even when a person is in the innermost recesses of his home, halo melo chalaretz kevodo. It's interesting that the Mishnah Berurah quotes his pasuk, and it's, we're going to discuss it, Mitzvah Hashem, that he could have quoted the pasuk which is well known, Hayisaser ish b'mistarim v'anilo enonum Hashem. The pasuk quoted in Siman Aleph, the pasuk from Yirmiyo. He does not quote that pasuk. That's surely the pasuk that indicates to us that even v'chabri chadorim, a person should be tzanua. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes a different pasuk, Meloi chol aretz kevodoi. And we'll see there are two separate halachas, two separate dinim. So the Ribbono Shel, of course, there's no distinction, light, darkness. If there's no compelling reason that one should expose oneself, then one should not do so. Obviously, if one is swimming, or one is at the seashore, then obviously that is a compelling reason, legalos b'sara. But other than that, one should not be Megala B'Sara, and that's the Gemara that I started with,
Well, even then, he's not going to be without clothing at all.
Obviously,
you know, so
that's correct.
So what is he referring to? Like, if a person not wearing a t-shirt, he's at home, it's hot.
I'll say, I'll be holding a daber. Lo rak kama shavuot, yachol yod kama yamin, yachol yod kama shavuot. That's exactly what I'll be discussing.
Okay.
So we have to define what Rabbi Feinberg Shlita asked is obviously a very significant and very important question, and really needs a lot of definition, and clearly there's a distinction between then and now. And obviously, kol dor, each dor, lich ora, would have its own criteria that we have to operate with, and that needs a lot of fleshing out. Pardon the terrible pun. So the Rishon LeRuah goes on to say, v'afilu ma'at, even if one exposes, see, because my nephew is here, that's why my sense of humor all of a sudden emerged. V'afilu ma'at, kol ma shedar kalios mechusib yivgadim la'ilam, that Rishon LeRuah goes on to tell you that even a bit, especially what's called the makam mechusib, there are two parts of the body. One is called makam megula, a part that can be exposed. And here, of course, there are distinctions between men and women, and I'm not sure I'm going to discuss the nether side, the other side, that's to say, the distaff side is quite significant. The other side, I meant, there are the chilukim between them and us. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit. There's a mekomos hamechusim, baguf, places that are not allowed to be exposed. Kevda refers to, you see the commentary of Nevin Sol Shlita on the bottom, Dainu Marpek. The elbow can be exposed. There's a discussion among the Poskim regarding women. This is a fascinating discussion. Nevin Sol Shlita told me many, many years ago that the elbow of a woman has to be covered, and even covered below the elbow, because since she might raise her arm and the elbow, the sleeve of her blouse might go up a bit, so therefore even the marpek should be covered. He brought me raya and mishnayos and taros. Others have a different perspective on the matter. I heard the name of Hagoyin Rav Pinchas Tzeitz Zatzal, and also the name of other Gedolei Yisrael. They had a very liberal kind of psak, at least according to the first position that I mentioned, that up to a tefach above the marpek, it's permissible for a woman to expose. The Gemara says in Brachos Chavdalut, Tefach v'yishaerva, and that is used by many. Agoyin of Asher Feinstein Zatzal, and the Gusmeisher speaks about two etzbos. The Gemara says, Sam v'yishaerva, two etzbos all around. So they claim even a tefach above the marpeg is permissible. That's a shita of Yechidim. Most of the poskim that I saw are against it. Agoyin of Yom Zilba, Agoyin of Tzadik, who was the Mashgiach in Itri when I learned in the yeshiva. So he has many, many svarim, and he writes in one of his svarim, and again, what I mentioned to you a few months ago, when I never saw Shlita, your brother L'Chaim Arukim told me about a woman raising her hand, and thereby the sleeve of her blouse being elevated. So they contend that we should be machmir, but that's not my issue right now. I'm just simply noting that the Mishnah Berurah says we're talking about men, talking about the male gender. Rashoy the galus yodu al kovdo bitzavar alechazet. And he can expose his tzavar alechazet to his chest area. And the Mishnah Berurah goes on to say, I'm going to discuss all this, Yitz Hashem, separately. But I just simply wanted to introduce the topic with the concept that the Mishnah Berurah brings, that a person has to be misnayed, mitznir, subusha, the neakor ibohu, even the chabri chador and balayla. This din is quoted by the Rambam Hilchos Deos, a very famous Rambam. I discussed once this Rambam. I once drove Rabbi Bleich, Rabbi J. David Bleich, in the 70s, to a conference in Boston. And he contended that the Rambam, Hilchos Deos, the Rambam over there in Perakei, where he discusses the Hanhogos of the Talmud Chacham applies to every observant Orthodox Jew. The Rambam is not only talking about Talmud Chacham. Generally, a Talmud Chacham is some of the way the Rambam defines the Yerodea, Mishi Yerodea, Lisa Belite, Merob the Kemis Hashas. Someone, whether we had the Gemara in Shabbos not long ago, that's something you can ask him anywhere, I feel him a sikhta the kala. And even that he's familiar with. But Rabbi Bleich Shlita, brother Chaim Arukim, also contended that that Rambam applies to any observant Jew, any Ben Torah, any Bas Torah, has to behave in a certain kind of way. The Rambam has a whole series of items that he mentions, And among them, the Rambam says over there in Hilchos Deos, in Perakei, I think it's in Al Chavav, he writes that Tznius Gedola Noagim Tamdei Chachamim Ba'atzmam. And there he says, Lo Yisbazu, Belo Yigalu Roshan, Belo Gufan. Something along those lines. They should not expose their guf, and not expose their bodies. And the Prima Godim is Medayik against Rabbi Bleich. Prima Godim is Medayik, he was aware of the Prima Godim, don't worry. The Prima Godim is Medayik against him, that the Gemara in Shabbos that I began with, Om Rav Yesi, Miyame Laro, Kuras Besi, Imre Chalukoi, that what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that that applies not to Tzad Tam Chochem. But Shabbos the other Megalim Gufa, the average person is able to go ahead and be Megalim as Gufa. The Isra doesn't apply to him. That's a Diyak of the Prima Godim and the Mishpat Zayzov, right over here in Siman Beis. That's what he quotes, La Locha. But the Shulchan Aruch seems to be Mashma. This is a Din Gomor. If you read the Shulchan Aruch in a straight kind of way, Shulchan Aruch seems to say that this is a clear Locha, and there's no distinction, Lich Ora, Ben Ligvarim, Ben Lenashim. And if that's the case, what's the Chiddush of Rabbi Yossi? If everyone is obligated to be Mekayim Da Locha, and there's no distinction between one and the other, so the answer is that Rabbi Yossi was mispoil, and was mispoil from the fact that what the average person is not some medaktik tomin. And yet, somehow with him, he was incredibly medaktik. You have the Gemara, for example, in Yuma, this is also a very important Gemara, quoted by Mishabru and Simenayin Hei. Mishabru and Simenayin Hei, with reference to women, the Gemara says in Yuma, Mem Zayin, with reference to Kimchis. Kimchis, the Gemara says that she was zeicha to Shiva Kohanim Gedolim. She was zeicha to have seven children who are Kohanim Gedolim. Why? So the Gemara says, Miyomai, Lo ro koros basi saros roshi. It seems to be similar to this Gemara and Shabbos that I quoted. At least the language, the tone and tenor is very similar. She said that the walls of my house never saw saros roshi. So even though somehow other women may also be makbid, but perhaps they're not makbid on a full-time basis, but she said me'elo lo ro afpan, never under no circumstances did the walls of her home ever see Kalsi Sari. So that, you probably are aware, is the subject of a lot of machlekes among the Gdolei Aposkin. Is the Gemara saying, Midas Chassidus? That's the Gemara suggesting. Or the way the Mishnah Berurah interprets, if you have a Mishnah Berurah, you can see it. Mishnah Berurah is very, very machmir. He understands that Gemara to be the ideal. Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Ayin Hey. He quotes from the Zoya, he quotes from the Sam Sefer, that a married woman, her hair should be covered constantly, on an ongoing basis, 24/7. And he quotes here, in Siman Ayin Hei, this is going on, if you have the Mishnah Berurah, you can actually, I'll just read part of the Mishnah Berurah and part of the...
See where?
Siman Ayin Hei in the Shulchan Aruch. We'll read the Sif Beis. The Sif Beis, Seyar Shalisha Shadaka Lachasesa, a married woman, of course, is obligated to cover her hair, it's a Mishnah Ksubis. Also, Likwes Kenegdo, that's a Gemara Brachas, Gemara Chavdalit. Mishnah Ksubis is elsewhere, but the Gemara Brachas Chavdalit tells you that Sabi Isha Erba, Tevach Isha Erba, Shrek Isha Erba, the Gemara calls Tzukim, and the Halach is you can't say Dvaram Shevikdusha, you can't learn Torah in the presence of hair that's exposed, and the Ramos is Afilu Ishto, but then the Mechaber goes on to say, Av Vesulos, Shadaka Leda Pura Sarosh Mutter. But single women, that they go with their hair exposed, that's permissible. The Gemara right away in Ksuba says, Tekashi, what's the makor for a married woman covering her hair? The Gemara includes quotes of Sukin, who remembers the Isha Saita, Ufaras Reisha Isha, the Kain is obligated to go and uncover her hair. Mikan, the Gemara says that the din of Kisui Sar by a married woman is a din daraisa. That's how the Gemara derives from Sukin, the chiyuv of a married woman to cover her hair. Single woman, the Gemara learns out, She'en darkon shel besulos Yisrael leilech to go with their hair covered. The Gemara says that besulos Yisrael go peru arosh. There's a famous Magen Avraham. I just mentioned it there, Chagav. And you may be aware of, perhaps have noticed, that you show me women, young girls, they braid their hair. Because the lashon of the Gemara is mikan, she besulos Yisrael Telachna pruos rosh. They can go with their hair uncovered. However, there's apparently some inyan, even with the Basilos Yisrael, to braid their hair. That's among an Avraham. Now, we don't pass it like that, except for Yerushalmi women. But the reason why I'm mentioning this Mechaber and the Ramah that follows, Hu Adin Sor Shal Noshim, Shavigilim, Lotseis Mechutz Tzamosam. Let's say the hair is covered in some sort of a net. Sometimes you have strands of hair that emerge from that net. So that is permissible. So here, the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Yudalim, on the bottom of the page, Mishnah Berurah discusses a Zoya in Parshas Noso. Hech Mimahoy Shal Yisroah Shum Seira Meisha. The Gorma Miskenusa Labesa. That can cause Sakona. The Gorma Libnod Leishashim Bedora. It will cause their children not to be VIPs. They won't be Chashuvin. Visitra Achra Lishres Bevesa. Whatever that is. But there will be a Sitra Achra in their home. The Kolshkin of Holcha Beshukakach, obviously, to go outside, that's clearly Osa. For a married woman to go with her hair uncovered, going to the Gemara to Nisim and Atorah. Al Kain, Boy Itza, Afil Kuris Beso, the Echmun Sara. Chada Merisha, even one hair of a head should not be seen in our home. The Yabdis Kain, if she does so, Maksiv, Bonecha Kashila Jason, Sabu Shulchanecha. Binoha Yistalkin Bachashob Nashabri Amma. Her children, her sons will be very Choshev people. Veloida, the Bible of his brother, Bichol Birchon, Del Eila Birchon, Del Tata. Her husband will be the recipient of many, many brachas. Beusra, with wealth. Bivnin, Uvnei Bin, Bonim, Uvnei Bonim. Adkan Lashonim Bekitza. So he just cited the Zoya of Pashas Naso. The Kasa Magad Avram, Deroi Lino Kazoya. So right away you see it's not Mikra Adin. This is not a requirement Mikra Adin, but it's a proper practice. Roi Lino, you want to call Minas Chasidus. Uviyoma Isa, Maisa Nikimchis. Then he quotes the story that I just mentioned. Me'elam, Loro, Kores Basic Kal Sesari, Bishus Hatsnias Ayesera Shahisaba. So most poskim assume that this is a midas chassidus and not required mikra adin. Mishnah Berurah clearly is telling us that this is an approach that's kedai to follow. So again, going back to the beginning, we cited the Gemara in Shabbos, Omer Rabbi Yosi, Yomai Laro. Koros Beisi Imri Chalukah. This seems to be the Bokar for this Mishnah Berurah. So the Achronim, the Matzah Shekel, and many other Achronim write, because we just a moment ago spoke about whether that din is relevant only to a Talmud Chacham, or perhaps one can extrapolate. The Shad B'nei Adam, it could be that it's Maneinu Anu, that we don't have a din Talmud Chacham. So that's what Rabbi Blaik Shlita cited to me this Matzah Shekel many decades ago. That when it comes to midi d'tzniusa, everyone should be misnayig like a talmid chacham, because that's a din in Shulchan Aruch. Lo yilbash chaluka meyusha, and that's what Rabbi Yossi was very excited about. And the Torah quotes of the halacha, and therefore one should try to be medactic to the extent that one can. However, the Achrayim say very clearly that this is a midas chasidus, and it's unquestionably something that one could aspire to. One could hopefully be shoeif to come to this madrega. And the Bach also writes almost explicitly that this is nearly the chasidus. It's something which is considered to be a very high madrega, and that's also the mashmos of the Prima Godi. But the Mishnah Berurah introduced this topic in the following way. So we're going to examine in Yitz Hashem in the course of the next few days an Igris Meshe. You have it in the sheets in front of you. There are two tshuvas of Rav Meshe Feinstein, and even though there are many other tshuvas regarding this matter, take a look at after the Shulchan Aruch and Siman days, there's a tshuva at Siman Mem Zayin. I underlined it. Siman Mem Zayin Eis Gimel. This tshuva has to be. Shuvah, not only because of the unbelievable, the towering godliness of Rav Meshe, but primarily because there are many poskim who disagree with him. and are much more machmer than he is relating to these matters, as alluded to by the introductory statement that we heard from Rabbi Feinberg Schlichter. So we'll have to examine some of the protim, and then there's another tshuva, which is the second tshuva that's found Simon Samches in Yerodeya. That's on Sif Dalit. He's talking about Snius Ba'ad Noshim. Snius with reference to the male gender. But I decided that I'm going to first, before I actually get into the halacha, introduce a bit of hashkofa, if you don't mind, because I think it's very significant to be fundamentally connected to hashkofa shatera relating to this matter. And I suspect that what I'm going to do is, this will be a bit more elaborate kind of presentation. And also, after I finish this, which who knows when that's going to be, I will once again sum up with a philosophic position on the issue of Hashgafa. So I just want to begin by something which I think is a famous medrash. You're all familiar with the medrash. I wrote it down for myself. Should have bleeped that, maybe I'll try to Xerox it. Uvayom Hashmini Yimo Basara Losa, the medrash in Tazria. Shal to Nesubis HaRasha Sabi Akiva, to Nesubis Esabi Akiva, Ezeo Masim Noyim, Shaka Ribohu or Shabasa Vadam, a very well-known medrash. Whose handiwork is better? That of Hashem Yisbarach or that of human beings? Amalei Shabasa Vadam Noyim. Rabbi Akiva answered, the handiwork of human beings. So you can imagine Tuna Sufis was astounded by this response. Amalei Tuna Sufis or Russia. So what does he say to Rabbi Akiva? What, you're able to create heaven and earth? You have that capacity? How could you have the effrontery to say that the handiwork of a human being is greater than that of Hashem Yisbarach? You can't create heaven and earth. Omer Rabbi Akiva, don't bring me a raya from heaven and earth. Lo toma li b'davar shu lemala min abrios, shein shelter b'hem. That's something that I have absolutely no control of, no power over. So you can't bring me a raya from that. Bring me a raya from something that's within our ambit, within our orbit, something that we obviously have control of. Okay, so to the service, continue the conversation. Why are you mulim? Why are you circumcised? So Rabbi Akiva answers, I knew you were going to ask me this question about circumcision. That's why I right away jumped on the bandwagon and I told you, our handiwork is far better than that of Hashem Yisbarach. So Rabbi Akiva went on. Eviuli brings to me, Haviuli shibolim ubluskos. Bring to me stalks of grain, and then bring to me, I'll translate gluskos, babka. I have to like babka. How do you translate gluskos?
You used to say strawberry shortcake.
Correct. I happen to like strawberry shortcake, but that I only use in the Gemara in Tzochim. The Gemara that above the base. Gemara says, Habedi tzor shivatzo my taima. Gemara says, maybe you'll find gluska yifei fe v'dai teiluya. So there I translated a strawberry shortcake. It says, Haravachim yo hakein shlita. Mariv Rabbi pointed out. But anyway, here, Rabbi Akiva says to Tunis Rivers, we're going to take these two items and compare them. Shibolim to Gluskos. Which one is nicer? He tells Tunis Rufus. So he answered, Amalo, Rabbi Akiva said to him, he answered his own question, Eilu Maisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eilu Maisa Basar Adam. The Shibolim, that's the work of Hashem. The Gluskos, the Babka, the strawberry shortcake, that's my handiwork. Ain't Eilu Noyim? Isn't the Babka, the strawberry shortcake, far beyond the Shibolim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Medrash continues. Habili, again, another two analogies. And notes say Pishton, Bekelim, and Beitshan. Pishton, which of course is the raw material, flax. And then, from the flax, I was able to go and put together, construct a kli. So which one is nicer? Obviously the kli. That's fashion. That was put together in a very crafty, artful kind of fashion. Amalei Elu Maisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, namely the Anotzi Pishton, They and this is the kli, the handiwork of a human being, of an artisan, of an uman. Ein elu noyim. Aren't these nicer than the original anosir pishtan? Amalei Tuna Sufis. And now Tuna Sufis responds to all this. He says, Hoel lu chavitz b'mila. Okay, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu apparently is desirous of having a circumcision, lama ein yotze mohu mimeimo. Why doesn't the tinok emerge when he's circumcised? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu take care of the circumcision? Let him circumcise the child while the child is still in the womb of its mother, and then the child emerged circumcised. Amalei Rabbi Akiva. Akiva responded to him, Balama shayro yotze bo. Why are you still connected to the umbilical cord? I'll tell you why. It means his mother's supposed to cut the umbilical cord, or the doctor, whomever, delivers the baby. So why doesn't he come out mohul, says Rabbi Akiva? About Chumash has a long discussion on this. The whole idea of doing mitzvahs is the tzarek b'emes abrios, that we should become perfected. The Pasuk tells him Yudches that the Imros of Hashem is Barach Ad Saruf. What exactly is the intention of this Medrash? So this is going to occupy us for a little bit. Birshuschem, I hope you will forgive me. My father Hashem was very bothered by this Medrash. What exactly does the Medrash want? So I'm going to try to present it in contemporary terminology, if I may. The simple pshat in the Medrash is, and this is how the Ramchal, about every sefer of the Ramchal has this yisod. Hameshech Chaim Lutzado. Both in Mesiyas Yesharim, as well as in all of his other svarim. Those who are familiar with the svarim of the Ramchal that are absolutely fundamental, yisodi adas. Ramchal writes that the teva that Hashem is Bar created is not mushlam. Hashem did not create the Teva b'shlemuso. He wants us to be mashlim the Teva. That's our function. A person is born without a bris, as the Medrash indicates, and a person is mashlim, the Hashlama comes as a result of our doing the act of circumcision. So, there are many who think, and this is a very common misconception, and certainly with Bnei Noah, it's become even, unfortunately, very popular. It's popularized in an incredible way. What is the ideal? The ideal of Shlemus is naturalness. One has to be in sync with nature. I'm referring to across the board. I'll discuss a few matters about it momentarily. That's a common notion that people think. And here you see from this Medrash that is completely incorrect. On the contrary, a person is obligated to add to Teva, and on the contrary, there's a need for tznius, as we're going to discuss momentarily. There's a need for a person, modesty, and on the contrary, tov lo liyot tivi, better not to be in a natural state. Today the world thinks otherwise, and I can bring you many, many rayos. I don't think I have to. I think it's fairly self-evident. The world feels there's no need to be tivi, and therefore, often, many, many years I teach women in different institutions, decades, and often they'll ask that, why should I dress in a modest kind of fashion? Why is it mafriya? And there are several obvious answers from a halachic standpoint, from a Torah Hashkafa standpoint, why it's mafriya. Number one, because one should not do anything that will arouse the sexual appetite of the male gender. That's a clear pasuk in Chumash. If you're machshel someone else ba'aveira, there's a law in the Torah of the able to see te michshel. That's the what I call the lowest common denominator time. That's not the highest level time, that's for sure. That's a very fundamental, basic, almost I would say, coarse kind of time, the hadil. But the argument is, if this is the way I was born, in a natural kind of fashion, shouldn't I behave in sync with the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me? But obviously, all of us are created There are males, there are females. Each one of us have our own yitzarim. We have our own inclinations, our own desires. You'll never find, chas v'shalom, rachman l'tzlan, that a woman will be ma'anes a man. And there are women who are physically very strong, Amazonians, here and there. So why is it that we don't encounter a woman being ma'anes a man rarely? The answer is because the yitzorim of women are markedly different than that of their male counterparts. And therefore Hashem created a ma'arechet where males have their tchunot, women have their tchunot, each one of us have our own tchunot, and obviously the harmonious interplay of both creates a olam sholei, an olam molei. And that's why there's a need for a chibur ben ish l'isha. That's the ideal, is the organic bonding between man and woman, because both psychologically and physiologically we are different, and the combination or the interplay of both creates the harmonious kind of personality, which is what marriage is all about. And the ma'arecha that Hashem created is not only required for a man, required for a woman as well, in order that this chibur should be able to emerge in the ideal way. So that is the fundamental reason. But as you can see, Siman Beis primarily is directed to gvarim, not primarily to women, because the nature of the yetzer of a man is markedly different than that of his female counterpart. There's a my father was very into giving a yashikah to kohanim, which I'm also into. I just simply follow my father's footsteps. In Chutzlaretz, Brichas Kohanim didn't take place how many times a year? 6-7 times a year on Yom Tov and the like. We spoke about this a number of times. Or Ramban Shulchan Aruch and many Achrenim discussed why there's no Brichas Kohanim in Chutzlaretz. And I told you a number of times what my father thought. I'll just mention it again for those who didn't hear what I said, because I'm very taken by his explanation. The Ramban says in Shulchan Aruch, the reason is because in Chutzlaretz, through them, they're preoccupied with making a panasa. So when my father, Alva Shalom, made Aliyah, came to Eretz Yisrael, my mother, Alva Shalom, so my father, after a while, saw that there are some difficulties with panasa here as well. It's not just that in Chutzlaretz, they're through them, b'michyasan panasasa. So that's ma'ab shat b'zeh. So my father answered the following. In Chutzlaretz, they are preoccupied with their panasa. What do they believe in? In the Almighty Dollar. It says in the Almighty Dollar, I think it still says there, in God we trust. Do they still believe in God in America? I don't know what's happening over there. It seems to me that Yesh Makom Lehistapik, given the nature of the mayhem that's taking place over there. But they essentially believe in the Almighty Dollar. Here in Eretz Yisrael, the bitachon of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael is so unbelievable. Literally, we are mamin in God we trust. So that's why we are now Torah b'michyaseinu panasaseinu. And now is the best raya where we're having major difficulties. The entire world is having difficulties. But somehow in Eretz Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel'olam's hashkocha is way beyond that which is in Chutz Laretz. I think I mentioned that I told this chat to Rabbi Nevitzol. He asked me which yeshiva did my father learn in. My father never learned any yeshiva a day in his life. My nephew Shlita, my beloved nephew, can testify to that. And this is what my father thought was the pshat in that Ramah. Unbelievable. I feel it, and my father in Kent Arts as well, he told me that there's no question that here the level of Bitochen is much greater than that of Chutz Laretz. Coming back to the Siman Beis, what I've been talking about, so my father told the following joke. Once in a while, Nosa V'dichasa is in place about Bichas Kohanim. A grandfather tells his grandson that, please, don't look at the Kohanim Duchen, because the Gemara says in Chagiga Tezayin, Kalamistakel, ain't no chaos. The person looks at Kohanim, the Shav, that they are doing Duchenin, so his eyes are going to be dim. Because Shechina Shuya be Rashi Etzboseya. The Shechina is found there, among the Rashi Etzbos. So after davening, the grandson goes to his grandfather and says, there's no Shechina. So he says, the grandfather, how do you know? How do you know there's no Shechina? So he answered, I looked, even though it says, Kalamistakel, ain't no chaos. I didn't see any Shechina. So his grandfather said, people who are foolish don't see the Shekhinah. Chachamim know that there is a Shekhinah. How do they know? Because lo mistaklim, but they don't look. So if you don't look, then you know there's a Shekhinah. When you're in Tel Aviv, you don't travel on Rehov Dizengoff. And I'm not so familiar with the streets in Tel Aviv. You go on Rehov Reines. As I've been in Tel Aviv maybe 3 or 4 times in my life. Once because of my car, my Rechem Shumash, I had to go to Tel Aviv. So, there are obviously different Yitzarim that apply to men, different Yitzarim that apply to women. But that Nekuda is really, as I said, the Lifnei Iver Nekuda is the lowest common denominator. The more significant Nekuda, which I want to mention, and perhaps tomorrow also I'll continue with this a little bit, is the Nekuda of self-dignity. Kavod Atzmi. That's really the key, and that's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah is talking about when he quotes the pasuk here, Meloi Kol Haaretz Kavodei. Kavod Atzmi. And there are a number of Meshorim regarding this particular Nekuda. A man who has Hanah from a woman's guf, so there's no question that a woman will be nifka, a woman will be hurt, because in effect she becomes an object in the eyes of that man. She becomes an object that is cheapened. The Hanah, in effect, takes away from her kavod, from her very essence, from her self-dignity that all of us possess. Both men and women have the sense of self-dignity, and this is considered to be a pigia b'chveidai. And that's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah says here. Haloi meloi chal aretz kveidai. Bitzorach adam lisnai bitzniyus v'busha v'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A number of years ago, a married woman called me and asked me the following question. And it's a bit embarrassing to even mention this, especially when it's being recorded. She asked me, maybe I should say it in Yiddish, so no one will understand what I'm talking about. She told me in English, "My man getting gatkis in the hoys. My husband walks around in gatkis. Is that appropriate?" So I asked her, "What are you asking me? Is it permissible? Is it mutar?" And the answer is, "Meikra adin, it's permissible. The mekaymes hamechusim hamechuse. But is it the right thing to do? Of course not. Meloi kalaretz kevaydai. But meikra adin, if no one else is there, we're talking about the couple. Meikra adin, it would not be awesome. But it's certainly inappropriate." So this sense of self-dignity. I'll just mention one more question. I teach both young men and young women for many, many years. And many, many years ago, in a very large setting here in Eretz Yisrael, when I first came, I was teaching in a very well-known women's institution. And in a class of approximately 75 young women, a young woman asked me the following question. "Do I think it would be appropriate for Rabbi Feinstein, the Tzadik Livracha, would it be proper for him to go ahead and, let's say he's in the mountains, Rav Moshe Zatzal used to go to the mountains every summer, his yeshiva simply moved from one geographic locus to another. There's a lot of well-known pictures of, I have actually one picture of that sort, the Rav Moshe Feinstein sitting under a shady area and just sitting and learning a Black Gemara. He just moved the Black Gemara from the Lower East Side in Manhattan MTJ. He moved it over there to the Catskills. She said, "Do you think that if he, in the Catskills, would he wear a pair of shorts?" She asked this question in front of an entire class of young women. So I responded to the question very seriously. I asked, "What are you asking? Is it permissible or is it appropriate?" So she understood where I'm coming from. So I told her, even if it's permissible, it would certainly not be appropriate, and it could be for a gadol of that statue would be awesome. That based on the Gemara in Shabbos, that a Talmud Chacham, a of that stature has to be exceptionally careful how he behaves. The Gemara actually was recently in the Daf HaYomi, and I'll just end with this. The Gemara actually cites on Daf Kuf Yud Dalav and Aleph. Kol Tamachochem Shenimtzu Revav Al Bigdol Chayav Misa. Tamachochem has to be exceptionally careful that nothing should be found. In Yiddish you would say not even a fleck, not even a spot should be found that is begodim. Shenema v'chol m'sanai ohabu mobes al tukli m'sanai ala masnioi. Tamachochem has to behave in an exemplary kind of fashion. Says Rashi, she'tzorach li'oschoshu v'hogun l'chvoy terosa. He has to have a sense of kovod regarding his stature. Masnioi, says Rashi, she'memasi natzma b'ini abrios. The Tamachochem who behaves in a fashion which is inappropriate, God forbid, Achmanu Lissan, people will see him not in a very favorable kind of light. Look at the way this Talmud Chacham behaves. God forbid, Achmanu Lissan, he'll engender a situation where the Torah will be not enamored in terms of the Hamon Ha'am, the way they look at it, but rather Achmanu Lissan will have an antithetical kind of effect. So this second issue is also a significant nekuda, namely the nekuda of kavod atzmi. And that kavod atzmi comes from the pasuk that the Mishnah Berurah quotes here, Meloi chol haaretz kavodai. And there's a Gemara in Seita daf Yudalit, the Gemara says, Mahu afato, Mahu merachim, Mahu chaynein, Mahu mevakir chaylin, Mahu menachem abeylin, imitati odei. We're obligated to emulate the midas of Hashem Yisbarach. Hashem Yisbarach has a sense of kavod. So to all of us, have to have a sense of kavod as well. Leaning out to tomorrow, I will continue a little bit in the hashkafa aspect, because it's going to be the introduction to a very lengthy discussion. If you have a few moments to look into the tshuva of Rabbi Shai Feinstein Zatzal, that would be ideal. The first tshuva more so than the second. We're going to spend a lot of time discussing this tshuva because it's a watershed in terms of understanding the gdara and the parameters of these halachas.
Shikach. What's the correct connection with the grandson?
The connection is